Well, if you would go ahead and pick up your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 30, maybe 31 tonight. So as you're turning there, I just want to remind us that we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. If you have missed any of it, the last probably 2-3 weeks at least, we've been looking at chapter 12 as we dove back into this letter on spiritual gifts. If you have missed, especially the last couple of weeks, I want to encourage you to go online, thewellcommunity.org, go ahead and look at these videos. 2 weeks ago, I couldn't believe it. Brad did such an awesome job, less than 40-minute message, and he gives like all the places in God's word where it indicates all these different spiritual gifts and also gives us some stuff about like, hey, this is how these gifts probably are defined, you know, at least the indication of how they're defined. It blew me away. I don't know if anybody taking notes, I think we're going like this, you know. It was fantastic. I bring that up because of this. We're going to look at some spiritual gifts tonight. I'm not going to define them necessarily tonight. I don't want to frustrate someone. So I'm going to ask you just to take note and go, okay, I want to know what that gift is. Go back a couple weeks and just listen to Brad's message again. It was fantastic. Last week was also fantastic. Jared reminding us that really the whole basis of spiritual gifts is that we're an entire body of Christ. We're all gifted differently, but we're all needed and we need everyone else, and no one is a lesser part of the body than anyone else. I loved his examples, especially the Barry Sanders one. I don't know if anybody else liked that example, but if you didn't listen to it again, listen to it online. But he gave this example of Barry Sanders, football player, running back, and if you remember, he just showed the example of him going into the end zone and handing the ball over to the ref, and then going over to his offensive line and just giving them high fives because he understood what a team, what a body actually works like. He knew he was talented, but he knew he couldn't do anything without these other people doing their part, and they all worked together. Fantastic, fantastic example. I knew it was really good when Sherry, my wife, told me afterwards that thing about Barry Sanders was really good because she has no idea what football is. But she knew that. She was like, that was a really good example. She got that, and I did too. It made me think, though, about this. Think about that. If I lined up all of those players, let's say Barry Sanders along with everybody else on that team, and maybe some other football players, whatever, and it was me and you, you know, standing there, and we're going to pick teams like we did when we were kids, you know, everybody's lined up, and you got the two captains, I'll take this person first. I know who my first pick would be. Do you know who yours would be? My first pick would be Barry Sanders. I'll take him. If he was in that line with all of the other offensive players, defensive players, whatever, I'd take Barry Sanders. Not because I thought that if I had a team full of Barry Sanders, I would win, because I wouldn't. If they're all running backs like Barry Sanders, I wouldn't win. Everybody needs to be different to play their part. I would know that as the person picking the team, but that would be my priority pick. And I know that if I didn't pick them, I know the other guy would. I know that. In fact, it's amazing, like in the NFL, some of us are maybe more familiar with the NFL. I'm not as into it as maybe some other people are, but I love football. But I notice every year they have this draft. And the first pick is a very valuable pick. Everybody wants that first pick in the draft. 12 out of the last 15 years, you know what the first pick has been? You know what position it's been? We can probably guess, people that know football. Quarterback. That's the priority pick for any team in the NFL. Not because, again, not because that team manager or the coach or the owner doesn't think that everybody needs to work together. They know that every position is critical on a team in order to have a championship team. Everybody has to play their part. They know that. But they also still, in the midst of that, they have priorities. That when they follow certain priorities, like making sure they have the right quarterback, then maybe the right running back, and they have this list. They make sure they go down that list so that honestly, it's arranged and the priorities are there so that the entire team can work the best way it can and they can have a championship team. It's pretty amazing. In the midst of everybody working together, there's also these priorities. If they don't pick a quarterback, it's only because they already have one or there's nobody there to pick. That's just the truth. Similar thing in the body of Christ. We're all arranged differently. We're all arranged in this body of Christ, but there actually is priority picks that we should know are the priority for a healthy body, that if we stick with the priorities, that body, the entire body, will work together the way that God has planned it. The Corinthian church needed to see that too. They actually, Paul actually writes the last parts of this chapter 12 filled with incredible truths. As we look at it, we're going to see the reason why Paul is going to say what he says, actually talking about the priority picks, basically, in the body of Christ, is because if you had the Corinthian church pick their priorities, they had them totally upside down. If we could line up all of the spiritual gifts that there could be, and you had the Corinthian church, and you just said, okay, it's your pick, you got first pick. What do you want? They would look down the line and say, where's tongues? Where's tongues? There it is. I'll take that. Because, man, if I don't get anything else except this, this is what I truly, truly need in our church. That's what the church basically was thinking. They especially had a problem with the gift of tongues and really over-prioritized it. We're going to see that especially in chapter 14. That's what their biggest problem was when it came to the priority of spiritual gifts. And honestly, with them all lined up and saying, we need tongues, come on. God would have done this. Are you kidding me? Tongues is your priority pick? No. That should be one of your last, if not your last pick. And that's why Paul says what he says here. They just had it backwards, and I love it. In some ways, I hate to say this, I almost love that the Corinthian church was going through so many problems because we benefit from their mistake. You know, they paid the dumb tax, you know? And so now we can get benefit from them. But look at verse 27. We'll just start with there. Chapter 12, verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Again, reminding what Jared just so incredibly shared with us last week, that we're all individuals, but we all work together as one body together. We're all needed. None of us are less part of the body than anyone else. And then he says in verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Do you see a priority list there? I do. God has appointed. God has chosen. It's like, this is God's pick. If he was going to be doing it, if he was picking it, he would pick it this way. So that, again, so that the entire body would actually function the way that God would want it to function, the best way it could be, and that could be a winning team, so to speak. It could function the way that God wanted it to function. Let's just go through this. Now, if you notice, the first thing isn't tongues, and you probably actually already noticed where tongues is on the list. And there's a reason why Paul put it where he put it. And you probably already can guess why he did that. But let's look through it. Why is the priorities the way that they are? Why is it first apostles, second prophets, third teachers? And if you notice, it goes, he numbers those, and then he says, then miracles, kind of like another, like here's the first echelon, and then here's another level here, and then he lists these other gifts. You notice that's kind of like three tiers. The first tier, first apostles, then second prophets, third teachers. Why is that? We get a clue actually better, I think, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 says that the entire church, the household of God, is built on the foundation of guess who? The apostles and prophets. Later on in chapter 4, and if you want to turn there, if you can flip there, otherwise just listen, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it's actually another great passage where Paul talks about the body of Christ working together, and he says this is how God has planned it to work with these priorities. He says in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, and actually that's shepherds slash teachers, it's one, really one person, the shepherds and teachers to equip, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. Now, if you notice, he says actually a couple even more different people, but he includes the three that are right here on the top of the list that he tells the Corinthian church. God has given apostles, prophets, teachers for a specific purpose. Their role is to equip, if you notice that, equip the saints to prepare. It's actually a thing called mending the net. Those people are gifted people to help everyone else and sharpen everybody else and equip everybody else so that everybody can serve the way that God has planned them to serve. It's kind of like if we had the toolbox and all of us were the different tools, were gifted in different ways, and there's a sharpener in the toolbox, and that sharpener is used to sharpen all the rest of us so that we can now perform the way that God has planned us to perform. That's what those three gifts do. The apostles and prophets and teachers. And if we're kind of wondering, okay, so how does that look in our church? How does it look today for us? You know, because I'm going, who's the apostles? Where's the prophets? Who are the teachers? Whatever. This is what I see especially. whether or not I see any apostle or prophet around today, I know that we are still being equipped by the apostles and prophets. Do you know that too? You just pick up this. Basically, I'll give it as simple as I can. Old Testament, prophets. New Testament, apostles. We have their writings right here. They're equipping writings that God has given them and they passed on to us so that we know how to function as a body of believers. We wouldn't know even how to do anything. If whatever gifts we do have, do you see why this is the priority pick? Whatever gifts we're gifted in, if we don't have this, if we don't have it founded on the apostles and prophets and teachers, he throws in teachers there because teachers are the people that take what the apostles and prophets wrote, able to put it in basically cookie bite sizes so that we can all digest it and leave going, oh, I get it. I know how to apply that. I know how that functions in my life and I can go out now and do this. That's what a teacher does. Takes the writings of the apostles and prophets, gives it to us so that we can understand it, so that we can go and now follow what God's word said. But those are the foundation gifts. No matter how I'm gifted, if I don't know how to use my gifts, what good are they? I need to know how to properly use them. And the way I know that is by following and having the foundation and have the priority be the apostles, prophets, teachers, and what they've given us. If you look then, it says then miracles. You know, it's kind of how that's kind of by itself, but it's like right after that, and then there's a then and some other things. Let me tell you why I think that is. 2 weeks ago, again, I thought Brad did a fantastic job of really telling us what miracles were really there for. Miracles, if you look at it and you study it, miracles really came alongside of apostles and prophets to authenticate that those apostles and prophets were really from God. So that they were recognized as true apostles from God. If you just want to write it down or take note of it, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, as you read through that, it tells us that the Lord Jesus showed us the way of salvation. He shared it with his apostles, the people that were with him, and then they shared it with us. And then it says this, I think in verse 3 or verse 4, that it was evidenced by or testified by signs and wonders and miracles that these people did. So that people would know that person really is from God. That message and that messenger truly is for the one true God because these miracles are authenticating that. I think that's why Paul is saying this as the next thing. For us, honestly, at the very least for us, it's to go, okay, let's make sure that our teachers are teaching us from what the real apostles and prophets really laid down for us. Not false apostles and prophets, but the ones that truly were authenticated by God through miracles. That's why I think he lists that there, just to go along with that first tier. Then he says this. Now look at the next tier. It says, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. So then there's all these other gifts, and I'd make about two or three observations here. The first observation that I make, it's actually not, as you read it in the English, I don't know why it doesn't do this for the English, our English versions, but every single one of these things that Paul is saying is in the plural. It's actually gifts of healings, helpings, administratings, and various kinds of tongues. Now, I understand the various kinds of tongues. There's a lot of different languages in the world. We actually see in chapter 14, he uses the same phrase to talk about, hey, there's a lot of languages in this world. And that's, if you go back again a couple of weeks, listen to the definition, the biblical definition of the gift of tongues. It's being able to speak these other languages without knowing them, and you don't even know what you're saying. You never even knew the language. But there's all kinds of those. I understand there's more than one different language. I even kind of understand the whole, you know, different gifts of healings, because there's all different ways that people are healed physically, and even some of those healings might be coming from, it shows in God's word, some of those diseases came from maybe a demonic activity, and so when that was taken care of, they were also considered healed. So I understand there's different ways that people are healed, but it's interesting, actually more interesting to me that he says helpings and administratings. If you notice, he doesn't list all of the gifts here. He's trying to make a point for this church, and I think we're gonna see that in a second, but I think he is grouping a bunch of gifts. There's all kinds of gifts, all kinds of ways that we are gifted, that many of us in this body are gifted in the way of helpings. Some kind of helping gift. And the same thing with administrating gifts, maybe the kind of way that we steer other people or help other people or lead other people in that kind of area, and there's all kinds of gifts like that. So that's one observation that I'm giving. I think he's just saying, and here's all these other gifts that are in this area that comes after the priority of making sure that we're founding all of those gifts on the writings of the apostles and prophets, and they're really the apostles and prophets, and we have teachers that are explaining to us clearly what the apostles and prophets laid down. Another interesting point, I think, is, again, I said it earlier, but what's the last one that he says? Various kinds of tongues. He says that, I think, for a couple of reasons, but one has got to be because that's what the Corinthian church thought was supposed to be at the top of the list. I actually think through it. I think, like, what if the guy, you know, because of what the church thought of, and it was basically, hey, if you don't have tongues, man, you need to have tongues. And people that didn't have tongues were kind of going, oh, man, that's the gift to have. We're gonna see that again in chapter 14. But I love it because I think if I was reading this with somebody who maybe thought the gift of tongues was pretty cool, maybe they even had this gift, they'd be going, oh, okay, Paul's gonna prioritize. All right, first, apostles. Okay, whatever. Second, third, then, where is it? Here, are you kidding me? I think they would have been, are you serious? And that was gonna be Paul's point. Yeah, I'm serious. It's really not the priority that you think it is. You could have all the gift of tongues. You can have incredible, spectacular gifts in your church, but if it's not based, if your church is not based on the apostles, prophets, and teachers and what they're giving to you that's directly from God, it's not gonna matter. It just doesn't matter. Now again, once you have that and you have the priorities, it all matters. We all need it. Honestly, if a church was just filled with apostles, prophets, and teachers, and we just had that, and that's all there was, it'd be like a toolbox that's filled with sharpeners. That's great, but we need every tool, right? We need them all. But Paul is saying, there's the priority here, and you got it all messed up. I think they would be looking at this, and I think Paul strategically places helpings and administratings in between gifts of healings and various kinds of tongues, because those were kind of the spectacular gifts. And I think somebody who like had tongues or gifts of healings, they would have looked at it and went, well, you're grouping us with helping and administrating, yawn, yawn. Those aren't very spectacular. And I think Paul was actually saying they're way more spectacular than you think. They're not any less spectacular than what you think you have. I think that's incredible. And I think it was also encouraging for the person who had a gift in the area of helping, a gift in the area of administrating. And they saw this sandwiched in between these two spectacular gifts that everybody else maybe was going, that's what we should have. And they were going, Paul, really? We're with them? And Paul was going, and God was going, yeah. Your gifting is pretty spectacular. Way more than you think. I think that's why he does that. And again, he kind of just ends this whole thing. I think that would have been really encouraging, by the way. Wow. He ends this whole thing with just going, just asking some questions in verse 29, reminding them, we're not all supposed to be gifted in the same way. It's not like this one gift is the thing to have. He just says, are all apostles? And if you read the chapter, you already know the answer he's looking for. If you keep it in context, it's obvious what his answer is. You know what it is, right? Are all apostles? No, and that's how it's supposed to be. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Not everybody's an equipper. That would be terrible if everybody was. He says, do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. And they're not supposed to. Do all interpret the gift of tongues? No, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to just work together as a body and be totally gifted differently. That's the context here. If you get nothing else out of this chapter, he continues to just go on through that truth that nobody has all the gifts. No one is meant to have all the gifts. And there is not one certain gift that everyone is supposed to have. If nothing else, get that. That's misunderstood, I think, a lot today. And it's so clear here. Don't let one sentence somewhere else confuse an entire chapter that he's already laid down so clearly that we're not supposed to all be gifted the same. And not only here, every other place that spiritual gifts are given, indicates the same thing. I especially love Romans chapter 12. Let me just read it to you. Romans 12 verses 3 and on, it says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." And then he goes on with the gifts. Having gifts that differ, we're meant to be different. Let's just use them together. What does a healthy body of Christ really look like when we're thinking about spiritual gifts? A healthy church would look like this. It's a group of people that would say, let's keep the priorities exactly where God wants us to keep the priorities. He actually says after the last question, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. He's talking to the church. You guys as a church have your priorities straight. Have the right priority gifts that are right there up front. And it is a church that says, you know what? If we have nothing else, our first pick is gonna be apostles and prophets and what they've laid down for us. That's our first pick in the draft. This. Let's make sure we have a church, regardless of anything else we do, let's make sure we have a church that's built on the apostles and prophets, the foundation they laid for us, and the way that they have equipped us and want to equip us. Let's make sure that our next pick is teachers, people that are gonna be able to take what the real apostles and prophets have laid down for us, proven because of the miracles that God had right there with them to testify that they were truly from God. And let's have teachers that are gonna take this and deliver it to us so that we can understand it and leave here and be equipped, sharpened to go out and serve the way that God has intended us to serve as a body of Christ. And a healthy body understands we're all gifted differently. None of us are supposed to even have all of the gifts. That's the point. We all need to work together. And there is not one gift that is meant for every single one of us. It's not how God had it planned, but it's a great plan. If we have just that foundation, we'll be a healthy church. I believe this to be true, but I hope anybody who comes in and just kind of mingles with us or into your life, because the church isn't this building that we're in, the church is us. People who come into our lives and mingles with us would see a church that would say, I don't know about you, but it's got to be based on this, whatever we do. And we've got to have the right teaching to understand this so that then we go out and we're not just going to do Bible studies and end it there, so that we can go out being sharpened and build up the body of Christ and serve. That's what we want to do. I would hope that's what we are. That's a healthy church. Now, with that said, knowing that we are not gifted the same, I think a burning question on some people's mind, I just want to take a couple minutes maybe to go over this. A burning question maybe for some of us is, I got it. Different, I'm not gifted the same way, got it. But where do I fit? You know, I want to know, where do I fit in this? You know, what kind of tool am I? I'm ready to be sharpened, now what? You know, how am I gifted? Let me just end it, and just this chapter as we keep going on, just maybe giving us some thoughts, some ideas about how maybe to find out where you do fit in this way that God has arranged the body so beautifully. Let me give you a couple things. If you wanna write these down, you can. If you're going, I don't have anything to write something down with, or I don't have time to do that, I just wanna listen. You can listen. We're gonna put this on the Facebook page for the Well Community Church. So you can just look on the Facebook page, maybe in a week or so, and find these kind of ideas for you to just go through. We might even give you an opportunity to just make a comment and just share with the rest of us maybe how God is maybe doing something in your life in the area of the spiritual gift study that we've been going through. What are you discovering about yourself? So let me just give you a couple things. I got about seven things. Number one, I think this is the best thing that we can think of is this, or if we leave with nothing else, it'd be this. Realize and accept that you are gifted. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are gifted to serve. Don't forget that. So number one, just go, I know that I am gifted. I'm following Jesus. If you're not following Jesus, you're not gifted. You don't have a spiritual gift. But if you have decided to trust Jesus with your life and follow him, you are gifted to serve. Number two, I would just simply say this, pray. just say, God, I just want to know maybe where I am gifted at, if that's something that I need to know. Would you just show that to me, reveal it to me somehow in some way in my life? Just continue to just talk with God about it. Number three, I would ask the question, just ask yourself the question, what do you want to do? Maybe a more specific thing would be this. When you hear that there is a need in the body of Christ, when you hear about that, what is the first thing that you think of doing to meet that need? We all think of different things when it comes to a general need. It could be a general thing. For instance, it could be, oh, wow, this person has some kind of need. I want to get him on the phone. I hope I can talk with them, maybe encourage them, maybe pray for them, and maybe show them something in God's word that could encourage them. You probably have a speaking gift. If the first thing you kind of think of or you tend to go to is talking, that probably means you have, this is not rocket science. It probably means you have a speaking gift. But some of us, we don't think about talking to them at all. We actually might think, well, talk is cheap. When I think of a need, and I think if there was a general need that I didn't even quite know what it is, I think about what could I do for them? You probably have a serving gift. And if you get even more specific, like the first thing you think of or the thing that you keep going to is, gosh, I don't know what they're going through, but if they have a financial need, I wonder if they do, and I wonder if I could help them with that. You might have the gift of giving. What do you tend to want to do when you hear about a need in the body of Christ? That'll probably indicate something to you. And the next thing I would say, number four, goes right along with it, do something. I think some people are like standing around going, okay, I need to find out where my spiritual gifts are, and then I can go serve. So I make sure I'm serving in the way that I'm gifted. I think that's backwards. Do something. Jump in. I think the spiritual giftedness that we have is revealed as we're serving, while we're serving. And you might be thinking, but what if I get in a place that I'm not gifted in? That's actually really good. It actually is. Look, it's just as important to cross things off a list as it is to circle something on a list. Just as important. Jump in. Find, go, you know what, here's an opportunity. I'm just going to jump into this place, and maybe you'll find out that you are gifted in some area to be able to serve in that area, or you might go, wow, this is not the place for me. So then try something else. But do something. Don't wait. And what goes along with that is this. What opportunities, good question for yourself, what opportunities seem to keep arising that might be similar? It's amazing how, God, it says in the very first part of 1 Corinthians 12 that there's a variety of gifts but the same Spirit, there's a variety of services but the same Lord, there's a variety of activities but the same God who works through them all. I think that the way that we have been gifted, God also goes, and here's your opportunity. I'm throwing that before you because I know how you are gifted. And then we go, oh, that's interesting. This comes up. This thing just keeps coming up in my life. This just seems like, it's like a magnet. You know, this kind of area just keeps on hitting me in the face. Maybe God's trying to tell you something. So when an opportunity arises, whatever it is, go for it. Opportunity here is for me to serve, so I'm going to go for it. It'll probably tell you something about yourself. And just take the opportunities as they keep on coming and see where that leads you. Number six, ask other people what your spiritual gifts might be. Get some other people involved. Maybe just ask somebody who sees you all the time and just says, hey, would you just watch me? Or you've been watching me for a while. What do you think I might be gifted in? And seriously, if you ask the right person who's going to be honest with you and loving with you, they're going to come alongside you. They're going to put their arm around you and say, man, you really stink. Stay away from this. Honestly, sometimes we are blind to something. I think there is still a little bit of like, I want to have that gift. I think that'd be a cool gift to have. So I think I'm going to go for it. And I think I got it, you know, and other people around you are going, please stop. Just stop. That's a good thing. They also might come around to you. Seriously, they also might come to you and go, wow, when you're doing this, there is something supernatural about it. It's something else. You should keep doing that. You should keep serving in this way because I see it just pouring out of you. Listen to those people. And probably number seven, I almost want to make this the second number one. Look around you and affirm in other people how they're gifted. Talk to other people and tell them what you see in them. and encouraging them and how to serve. And places that you see them going, wow, that is incredible what you're doing there, and affirm that in them. Because honestly, I think we go like this. I'll just speak for myself. I go, how am I gifted? I want to know how I'm gifted. I need to know how I'm gifted. Is that really what it's about? Or maybe it's actually more for us to go, I'm here to help other people find ways to serve. I'm here to help other people serve each other, and I'm going to help someone else find their gifts. And maybe in the process, you're going to find yours too, but maybe make the priority someone else. Isn't that what the whole point is anyway? Think about it. I think as we mature together, as you mature and you make yourself available just to jump in and serve in whatever way is available to you, I think over time, your spiritual gifts or your giftedness will come out. If not to you, then other people around you. But it's okay if you don't have a label for how you're serving. It's okay. Seriously, I think it's not about learning my spiritual gifts and then going to serve, as I said before. It's about this. It's about serving, jumping in to serve in the body of Christ, knowing that I am gifted to serve. That's the point. 2 weeks ago, I'll just end with this. It was pretty amazing. I don't know if you caught it, but when Brad was talking about the spiritual gifts, he actually talked about administrations, and he said, man, I kind of looked at that a little just fresh, and I kind of saw a different idea what administrations is. It was more about, he thought it was about, like, at first, you know, doing Excel sheets, you know, administrating, you know, like an administrator, secretary, or something like that. And he said, I actually looked at it, comes from the thing like steering other people and more of like a leadership thing of where I'm kind of gathering people together and putting them all together and doing that. And he said, man, that's what he said. He goes, I think I might have that gift. 2 weeks ago, he found the label for it. Guess what he's been doing the whole time? Honestly, the same thing that I just went over with you. He went, you know what? God, I know I'm gifted. Show me it if you want me to. I'm just going to jump in somewhere. Where's my passion? Where do I like to? How do I like to serve? That's where I'm going to go. Wow, another opportunity to serve this way. Another one. They just keep coming up. That's what happened in Brad's life. And 2 weeks ago, he got a label for it. You get the point? Jump out and serve. Know that you're gifted. And affirm other people. And as Paul ends this, he actually says this. I think this even more adds to it. He says, you know, earnestly seek those higher gifts, and I'll show you an even more excellent way. There's actually even something more important about when we're thinking about operating as a body of Christ that's even more important than our giftedness. But we'll wait till next week to cover that. It's pretty awesome. Why don't you pray with me? Lord, thanks again for the time you give us together. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can have the foundation of the apostles and prophets so that we know, and these teachers, so that we can understand what your will is for us, what you've laid down for us to sharpen us, to equip us, to be able to serve in whatever area we are gifted in. God, that we would just know that we are gifted, first of all, and then just serve. And go out and just maybe just experiment here, look at this, go to this thing. But God, I just know that you've put us together as a body of believers that wants to just, I know you want us to just keep the priorities where they need to be. And I pray that for us. We wouldn't get sidetracked by something that isn't the priority, but we would honestly have a church here that is based on the writings of the apostles and prophets. And Lord, that we would be equipped so that we go out as sharpened instruments and serve each other and the world around us. And God, thank you so much that you've arranged it in this way. It's so beautiful. In your name, amen.